God is on the move and he's doing things. Anybody feel the presence of God this morning? Do you know, God, the presence of God is just the most exciting thing to be in. You receive the peace of God, you receive the joy of God, and you receive the freedom of God. And it's a place that I just love to be. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a church junkie. I love to be in church. I just find it the most exciting place to be. And I wanted to ask you all the question, when you woke up this morning, were you excited to be listening to the sermon? Was the first thing you woke up this morning and said, I can't wait to listen to the sermon? One of the most amazing things is when we open the Word of God. Last time I preached, I spoke upon the Word of God and the Word being Jesus. And Jesus brings about truth in our lives. And that brings about freedom. I want to ask you today, do you feel the presence of God tangibly? And I want to challenge you today, if you do not feel the presence of God, I think there may be, there's probably more than one reason, but there's two reasons I'm going to highlight today as to why you may not feel like you feel the presence of God. And the first thing is, it may be that you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus as a Christian. As a Christian, it means we're like mini-me's, okay? We're mini-Christs, okay? We're trying to follow like Christ. And this amazing thing happens when you become a Christian, that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and it's not a scary thing in any sort of way, but you receive the peace and the freedom of God. And the second thing is, and sorry, that's when you become baptized in the Spirit of God. But the second thing is, for some of us, we may be Christians in this room, but it may be a while since you've felt the presence of God. Let me tell you, I think we can all feel more of the presence of God. We all feel like we more need it, right? But there are times that we run on empty. I wasn't going to share this till later in my sermon, but over 2 weeks ago, now we were at the Elim Leaders Summit, and just before that, I'd been spending time in the presence of God as much as I possibly could. And then I got to the Elim Leaders Summit and I got there and the presence of God was so strong and it was such a great place to be and it was so exciting to be there. But I got round to this week and I found that there were lots of distractions. I had to prepare my sermon. I knew what I was going to speak on, but it was just getting it together. And I found that there were lots of distractions. When you work in church, you'll know that you have to do everything and anything. It's just the way that it works. And there's people. People are the most important thing, and it's more important than me producing my sermon this morning. But there are times where you just need to find a space for God. I think today, if we want to understand the Bible, we want to understand the Scripture, we need to be filled by the Spirit of God. I'll give you an example. I think there's four ways this sermon could go today. The first one could be that nobody in this room is filled with the Spirit of God, in which is going to be a very unproductive meeting, and we might as well go home for lunch. Okay. The second thing is going to be that maybe that you have come today filled with the Spirit of God, and you're hungry and ready to receive the Word of God. But I have come today, and maybe I've done my best to prepare my sermon, but if I'm not filled with the Spirit of God, I'm not going to be speaking the truth of God. Does that make sense? And the third thing that could be happening today is that I'm filled with the Spirit of God, but you are not. I could preach the best message, okay? I could be filled with the Spirit of God, but if you're not ready to listen, and it's the Holy Spirit that helps us interpret the word, then it's not going to be a productive time for us. And the fourth thing that could happen today is that we're both filled with the Spirit of God and that we're ready to receive the word. So I'm going to ask you today, if you're hungry for the fourth one, we're going to just pray that the Holy Spirit falls in this place because I can't do this sermon by myself. I need the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? So I'm going to ask, I was going to ask people to stand, but people just want to put your hands out in front of you and we're just going to pray. Are you ready to pray with me? We're just going to ask for God to fall in this place. So Holy Spirit, we know we're not perfect, Lord. We know that we make mistakes. We know that we do things wrong. We know that sometimes life is tough. But Lord, we acknowledge today, Lord, as we get older, we realize how imperfect we are. But Lord, we know that we need you. So Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray today, Lord, as we listen to the message, Lord, that we will be dependent completely upon you. So Father God, fill us up. Fill us up anew, Lord, so that we may receive your message in your wonderful and precious name. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking about being receptive to the Holy Spirit this morning. So simply put, this is my definition, okay? The role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal who Jesus is and the truth that he stands for. He's a little bit like a messenger, okay? He comes and delivers Jesus to you. With the supernatural power that the Holy Spirit brings and the knowledge of God that is revealed to us through him, we are empowered to live life to the fullest. Without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we might as well give up saying we're Christians. That might sound a bit of a harsh thing to say, but we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Who knows that sometimes we could be the best at our jobs. Some of you in this room are the best parents. Some of us are the best children. Some of us in our church ministries, we are the best of our church ministries. But without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, sometimes our efforts are just null and void. I could put on the best youth program for our young people. I could, but unless it's produced with direction from the Holy Spirit, and unless our other leaders, other youth workers are empowered by the Holy Spirit, it might as well be cancelled on that evening. It's a bit like having a mobile phone without any battery. It just exists. It's just an object. It's just there. Or like running a marathon after forgetting to train. Or like trying to lose weight without having any discipline. Okay. We might as well just live to exist with no purpose, because everything we try will probably fail. And even if it doesn't fail in the short term, in the long term, it won't have a long-lasting effect on the world. Is there anybody here that would argue that we don't need the Holy Spirit? And is there anybody here that would argue that we don't need more of God? So the Holy Spirit delivers the power of Jesus to us in our lives. How are we doing for time? So if we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but if some of us in this room are feeling empty, why is that? So we've given our lives to Jesus, but maybe we feel a little bit dry or exhausted. The problem is, they're a little bit like a bucket with a hole. We naturally leak. You may think, well, that's a little bit of a design flaw on God's point. Okay. Why do we naturally leak? And I'll tell you that we naturally leak so that we can bless other people. Because the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. And through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we bless other people. We leak. But the problem is, if we don't top ourselves up and we don't fill ourselves with the presence of God and we don't spend time with him, we become dry. And we don't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at a few scriptures. But we want to read this one first, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16, and it should go on the screen. And I wanted to just elaborate this message to you, that the Holy Spirit brings about the truth. And if you are not a Christian today and you want to know more, I want to ask you to ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you know somebody that is not a Christian today and you've been wanting them to be a Christian for a long time, ask that they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit like a mystery. You can't understand Jesus until the Holy Spirit has come to you. Does that make sense? How do we... In verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, which is a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. God destined that we would have the wisdom of God. And it may be revealed in only small parts. None of the rulers of the age can understand it. The most cleverest people that you know cannot understand God without the Holy Spirit. If they would have, they would have not crucified Jesus, the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those that love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by the Spirit. Do you know the Spirit is part of the Trinity? Three in one. That means he is God. That means it's like three separate streams of consciousness. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all separately thinking, but all one God altogether. And the Spirit knows the things of God. And it says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who, Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So if you want to know the thoughts of God today, you need to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, so it's no good listening to my wisdom today, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That is why people in the world think people in church are a little bit strange. Okay? Because they can't understand what we believe. Until they receive the Spirit, it's classed as foolishness to them. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject just to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit delivers that to us. So are you ready to receive more of the Holy Spirit this morning? Are you ready? Okay. Let's look at Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. And we're going to look at today about how we can be a little bit more receptive to the Holy Spirit. If you're feeling a little bit dry or struggling a little bit, I'm going to come up with a couple of reasons why that may be. Probably not all the reasons because we don't have enough time today, but I'm hoping this will give you enough food for thought that you can maybe go away and look for more of this stuff for yourself. So if you'd like to look at Mark 6, verse 1 to 6, Jesus has been going around at this point. He's been baptized in water. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And he has also been going around doing miracles, amazing miracles, but also amazing messages and amazing parables. And yet then he comes to his hometown. And it says here, Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard it were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching and his messages because he was such a great communicator of the day, much better than I am. Okay? Where did this man get these things, they asked? What's this wisdom? So it's the wisdom that has been given to him. What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? And then they say, isn't this the carpenter? Do you know Joseph's son, who was also a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And the remarkable thing is, it says here, and they took offense to him. So Jesus is performing amazing miracles. He's giving amazing messages, and somehow they take offense to him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles here. Just repeat that one. He could not do any miracles here except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. There's two problems here. The problem is they were limiting Jesus based upon what they knew of him as a boy. Growing up, and a young man. It says the problem was that people were only, looking with their own eyes. They were reliant on their own previous experiences of Jesus. They just remembered who Jesus was, Jesus' little boy that used to play out there, and Jesus that grew up to be the carpenter. But no, we know Jesus is part of the Trinity and is also filled with the Spirit. I want to ask you and challenge to you today, how small is your God? Not how big is your God. And the reason why I say that is because some of us limit God. It says Jesus, I don't think it's that he couldn't perform the miracles here. It says he did actually. But he chose not to carry on because people didn't believe that he could do miraculously more. I know there's some people in this room that are praying for revival across this nation. Do you know, in the country that we're in now, we've got the highest rates of depression than ever before. You look at young people and they are really, really struggling with their mental health. We need revival in this nation. And we need a people that are going to believe that it's going to happen. We need people that are going to have a bigger vision than what they've already got. I want to challenge you, if you think you've got a big vision for what God wants to do in your life, around the, in the people around you, in the ministries that you serve in, start to think bigger. Because do not limit what Jesus can do in that place. The second thing I'm going to say here is, people were amazed at the miracles, but maybe Jesus had more than just the miracle. For some of us in this room that are ill, you may experience that God heals you, but what if he doesn't? What if the miracle isn't the most amazing thing that God has for you? Maybe there is a gift that he has for you. There'll be a gift of knowledge. That you will bless other people around you. That you will see people saved. That you'll see people fall in love with Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can search for the miracles, and the miracles are the way that we want them to happen. It's a little bit like what Rachel spoke about last week. She said about having your ducks in the row. Sometimes we like church the way that we like it. And we don't allow for room for God to move. And we limit him. And the Holy Spirit comes and he's knocking and he's saying, you know, I want to come in. I want to come in through these doors. But you guys just don't seem like you're ready. I'm going to put up a little, well, Kate's going to put up a nice slide for me. At the moment, the colour's not very good here, but it doesn't matter. I want to ask you, on the scale here, natural on this side, supernatural on this side, when you look at the world, what do you see? Do you see that God is going to do stuff in the natural or the supernatural? Which way do you lean? When you have a problem in your life, do you just try and sort it yourself? Or do you expect the supernatural? Do you expect that God is going to do something more? And equally, I'm just going to touch very briefly on the flip side to this. Are you looking at the supernatural all the time? Because some people will look at the supernatural in everything. You know, they get to the bottom of their cup and the tea leaves are in there and they're like, oh, what's the shape of that one? What's God saying to me today? You know, they trip over and they graze their knee and they say, oh, it must be the enemy trying to hurt me. And it's because their shoelaces were undone and they can't tie their shoelaces. You know, some of us are so super, looking the supernatural so much. In this country, I would say we lean towards the natural side, the way that we look. But yet you look at people in Africa where you seem to be seeing more miracles and they look at the supernatural. And there seems to be that God is doing some more stuff in the supernatural. But the problem is with people in Africa, sometimes they look in the supernatural and they go to places like witch doctors. And which the enemy has got some power and may do something there, but there's always a catch. You're always linked to something. Do you know, Jesus came to this earth. There was a point where heaven overlapped earth, where the spiritual, the supernatural overlapped the natural. And Jesus was dead center. And he was performing miracles, supernatural miracles to natural things. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 25. I said about a witch doctor before. We're going to talk about Simon the sorcerer now. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, okay, and amazed all the people. Should we start that one again? Practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But Philip comes along. When they believed what Philip was saying, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. This is baptized in water, both men and women. Simon himself believed and also was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. So Simon, a sorcerer that is after great power, suddenly finds himself in a situation where he's not as powerful as he thought he was. And there were supernatural things happening in that place. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's interesting, isn't it? So these people may have been prompted by the Holy Spirit and have made a commitment to God. And they were baptized in water, but not necessarily baptized in the Spirit. Maybe they'd received something of the Spirit and received the knowledge in order to be saved, but they weren't fully baptized. Where did I get up to? What verse? 16. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, interesting what I was saying about the bucket earlier. Peter and John were clearly filled with the Spirit of God. Because when they put their hands on them, on people, and they prayed, those people also received the Spirit of God. If you want to see people around you changed, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to fill others with the Spirit of God so that they may know God and they may know the things of God. When Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also the ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Who knows you cannot buy the Holy Spirit? It's an interesting one because Simon wanted to see the power of God. He saw the power of God and he wanted a part of it for himself, but he thought he could buy it. And there's so many scriptures in the Bible that you will see that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God if you would just receive it. It's nothing that we can earn or anything else. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." This is a guy that is giving his life to Jesus, but he's full of bitterness and captive to sin. Who knows that even as Christians, sometimes we get bitter about things. I've been challenged this week as I've spoken to people and had relationships with people. Sometimes your heart can get hardened and you have to remind yourself to soften your heart. And when that happens, we can still let sin creep in. I want to tell you, if you are the kind of person like me who sometimes sins and does things wrong, but you do it time and time again, and time and time again you repeat it and repeat it and you keep still making the same sin, there is a reason for that. It's because you're not being topped up with the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God brings freedom in your life. Freedom from sin. It doesn't mean that when we get to heaven, we haven't been forgiven for our sins. But there are still repercussions for our sins. And we need to get out of the habit of continually sinning and continually doing things wrong. Because there's people out there that are looking at us and going, "Do you know what? And I'm sure you've heard this before, but Christians are a bit hypocritical, aren't they?" You know, we have got to be the best people that we possibly can. And the only way that we can do that is if we're filled with the Spirit of God. Then Simon answered, "Pray for the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After that, they proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Peter and John carried on in the presence of God. Do you know when they did the laying on of hands so that people might receive the Holy Spirit? Do you know, I bet there was time just before they went to some of the other villages where they spent time praying, being filled with the Spirit of God again. I've been extremely challenged recently. If you haven't heard some of the Elim Leaders Summit sermons, they are online. If you type in Elim Leaders Summit into Google, there are some really amazing sermons, but there was one by a guy called James Aladrin. I think that's how you say it. And he is a passionate African, okay, but he loves to pray. And I want to tell you that when you pray, it's not just a simple prayer of, God, help me today. It's, Father God, we pray that your kingdom will come in this place. Lord, we pray for this person. We pray for this person. We pray for a transforming power in their lives. Lord, please fill me up and make me be the best Christian that I possibly can be today. And I want to tell you guys, if you are not feeling the presence of God after 10 minutes of praying, let's pray for 20 minutes. Let's pray for 30 minutes. Let's pray for 40 minutes until we feel the presence of God, until we feel refilled up, because you will leak. As we're giving out in church, as we're blessing other people, we're going to leak, okay? And we need to be filled with the presence of God. I know that when I upset people, other than when I'm preaching the word of God, I upset people sometimes because I say things out of turn, okay? But that's also because I haven't spent enough time with Jesus and being in the presence of God. Because we're not a condemning people, we're a people that bring the truth and the freedom of Jesus Christ when we're filled with the Spirit of God. We can't help but have great smiles on our faces. Regardless of the issues that we find in our lives, we can't help but be happy because God does something amazing. Do you know, when I first became a Christian, I remember at the age of 6 years old making a commitment, and it was the start of a long journey for me, but I remember the feeling when I first became a Christian and I was so excited. It was like me seeing the television go from black and white to 4K television, or 4K cinema experience with Dolby Digital surround sound. Okay, there was something exciting about it, and I would never ever want to go back. And I wonder, you know, when we were worshiping this morning, I wonder how many of you had that excitement inside of you. A while ago, when I was much younger, and I'm still not great at preaching, but I was definitely not very good then. Okay, and I remember preaching and saying, you know, because there was something inside of me, I couldn't help but jump up and down in my worship. And I said I said in my sermon that I don't know why people do not jump more. Because there's something in your spirit when the Holy Spirit comes in your life and it connects with you, that you just get this excitement. You can't help but share the word of God. You can't help but talk about Jesus. You can't help but be more passionate about what you believe. You can't help but do the best at your job, even if it's a boring one. You can't help but see lives change. I can't get the words out. It's an amazing thing. I want to ask you, are you chasing after the miracles, or are you chasing after Jesus? You see, after we chase after Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that's when the miracles come. We have to be more devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to see those miracles happen. In this country, we don't see a lot happen. Why? Because we're people that see the natural all the time. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you start seeing the world in a different view. You start looking at people in the bus station and going, they look lonely. You never noticed them before, the homeless person that's always been there. You see that you can see inside some people's lives sometimes that they're hurting. You never saw that before. Without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can't see these things. We're coming to the end of our time. I've been really blessed recently. In October, we've got an established youth group here, and we helped establish a youth group over in Evesham. Since October, for about 5 or 6 months, we tried and we've been pushing these doors to get young people in, and we've had one young lad come in every week. Amazing. And then we realized about 20 or 30 years ago, before in the church, that the previous youth worker had done things that he shouldn't have been doing and ended up in prison. And I won't explain what those things are to you, but it was a problem. The church has never, ever had young people come back into the church again. So as a team of people that were trying to put that plant there, we started to pray and fast. Because Jesus says there are some things that can't be done without prayer and fasting. We started praying and fasting, and we started doing some more outreach stuff. And do you know what? We've had a maximum of 21 young people in there. 15 to 16 young people there. And there's been a lady there that has been pointed to take over the youth work there. She has come all the way over from Gibraltar. God has been doing stuff. She has got the most amazing testimony, okay, of how God has changed her life. And through us going over there, we've seen her being established in a place where God has put her. The remarkable thing is, we've been doing youth work here for quite a long time with some of our young people. And we had this evening, I would say two Friday nights ago, which probably we had a brilliant plan. Me and Danielle spent ages and it just didn't go to plan. But we invited Chantal to talk. And some of you in this room later on, we may hear this testimony further down the line. And Robin has asked her to come and do a testimony. And you know, she has come from the hardest place. You would not know the person she is now if you would have seen her 15 years before. God has completely transformed her life around. And you can imagine any bad thing that has happened to a person, that has happened to that girl. She came and she spoke here. And even though we've been investing into our young people for life, she came and spoke and gave her testimony. And six people have made commitments or the start of commitments. Do you know, we've spent years with some of these young people. And sometimes we're lucky enough to have seen those fruits of young people making a commitment. But sometimes you do not know the impact that you have on people's lives in the long term. Isn't it funny how we've chosen to help bless another church and yet it turns around and God blesses us back? Has anybody here not been on a mission trip to another country? I want to challenge you, go on a mission trip to another country because you will realize how spoiled we are here. You will realize that that you will try and bless other people there and you will come away being more blessed. I'm going to close now. I'm going to ask the worship band to come up if possible. If you feel like you need more of the presence of God, do you know what? We've got some worship coming. And I'm going to ask that if you just stand with me, if you want to receive more of God, I'm not going to pray over you. I'm not going to do anything crazy. But if you want more of God, if you want more of the presence of God, do whatever it takes in this moment to receive more of the Spirit of God. If you've never made a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, grab somebody that you know around you. And if you don't know anybody, come and speak to the pastor and make that commitment because it will be the best decision that you will have ever made in your entire life. Shall we all stand? Today, do not get yourself dry. Get to a place where you can receive the presence of God. If you don't feel the presence of God with me speaking now, that is fine. But keep worshiping God. Give him back everything and say, God, I just need more of you. Do you know, I spent 3 hours yesterday before finalizing the end bit of my sermon just so I could feel the presence of God. And I needed it. I really needed it. I needed more of him. And do you know what? He comes. And it's not a scary thing, it's a gentle thing. Should we put our hands, Father God, Lord, as we worship you today, Lord, I pray that we will receive everything that you have for us. Lord, we want to feel your presence in this place. We want to know you more, but Lord, we want to be empowered by your presence, Lord, not for our own benefit, for the benefit of this world around us, to change the people around us. Lord, empower us to be the best people that we can be in your wonderful and precious name. Lord, we ask for more of you. Lord Jesus, come in this place, oh God, in your wonderful and precious name. Amen.